This is The Rocket, Bill Eisen. Welcome to Newsmakers. I'm in spring training in Florida. Today I was in Astros camp. I had great conversations with A.J. Hinch, Carlos Beltran, and Josh Reddick. If they stay healthy, the Astros believe they will be in the postseason. Here's what they had to say. Enjoy the podcast. I'm with one of the best managers in the American League, Astros manager A.J. Hinch. Thank you so much for being on my show. A.J., the Astros are in a tough division. And how, what do you want to see the team do better compared to last year?
Yeah, we've got to play the closer games a little bit better. We had a hard time early in the season with some of the small incremental ways to win games. And if we can get off to a better start by winning some of the closer games, we'll feel better about ourselves. And what that means is a little bit more attention to detail in the base running decisions, a little bit more, a better scouting report to approach opposing starters and get into the game a little bit better, and just fine tune some of the things that we do well and do them a little bit better earlier in the year.
AJ, the team got off to a 7-17 start last year. Mm-hmm. How did you manage to have a record over 500? It was a good record, in fact.
Yeah, no, we bounced back very well. I mean, we have a resilient group. We have really good players. We were able to get April out of our mind and have successful May, June, July, and August, and then into September, and really didn't get eliminated till the last weekend. So I think the mindset of our team is to understand the length of the season. We understand we've got to play well for an entire season to factor in. But mental toughness is strong around here, and we have a group of players that respond to being pushed.
How far can this team go? You have Seattle in the way. How far can it go?
Yeah, no, Texas is obviously the defending champion the last couple of years. We had a playoff team in 2015. We just missed out in 2016. So we made some additions to hopefully fortify our lineup a little bit. We're a little bit more balanced. We have an excellent bullpen. We've got to stay healthy on the mound, in the rotation. And we have a playoff caliber team, but it doesn't do any good to talk about it in March and April and mm-hmm. and even into May until you play the games. And but I like our team. I like our chances, but we've got to stay healthy and we've got to play a complete season to factor in.
You've improved your offense by getting mm-hmm. Beltran and Reddick. Tell me what those guys mean.
You know, they bring presence to our lineup and gives our young position player core a couple veterans to turn to. You know, with McCann and Reddick and Aoki and Beltran, that's a lot of experience. There's a couple World Series appearances in there. There's a lot of postseason at-bats in the clubhouse now. And it's a great presence for us. And I think over the course of a season, how to deal with success, how to deal with failure, how to develop a good culture and chemistry in that clubhouse. The players that have been there, done that before, seem to be the most influential, and we added some good ones.
How will Brian McCann improve the pitching staff?
He's invested in the pitchers. I love catchers that are defense first and offense second. It doesn't mean they're not offensive players. It just means they know their priority every day is to get the most out of the pitcher. He's terrific about that. From the day that he got traded here, he was texting and calling and getting information about our pitchers. He wanted video. He wanted scouting reports. He's met personally with all of the pitchers to get on the same page with them. And that type of leadership behind the plate is pretty infectious, and it makes for a good common bond between the pitcher and the catcher.
You know, a lot of people believe you have a great bullpen, but a lot of people question your starting staff. Mm-hmm. And I mean, what do you think about the starting staff? Can it mm-hmm. survive compared to last year?
Yeah, I mean, we've got to be healthy. You know, I think if we're intact and we have a healthy group, I think our group is pretty good. Dallas mm-hmm. Keuchel at the top is obviously a year away from being a Cy Young. Lance McCullers, one of the up and coming guys in our league, has terrific stuff and great moxie and great competitiveness. Colin McHugh has been steady the last couple of years, providing some innings and pitching in some playoff games. Charlie Morton, we signed. Who's coming off of an injury season, but any given day has lights out stuff. And so the competition at the back end with Fires and Musgrove and Davinsky, and you have a young kid, Martez, it all begins with the health of our top two guys. And if we have that intact, we have an excellent pitching staff. If we don't, then we'll be piecing it together, trying to use our depth to our advantage.
You think you have enough there to finish in first?
Yeah, I mean, I think we have enough to show up every day with a chance to win. And I think that's, in our division, it's going to be important. There are no easy outs in our division. Anaheim has made themselves better. Seattle has made themselves better. Texas is the reigning champion the last 2 years. Oakland always seems to be a thorn in everyone's side, and they have these cycles of years where they all of a sudden become really good. There are no off days in our league, so I think we're going to have to play well, but I'll take my team against anybody.
When you're in that dugout, tell me the excitement you feel when you see Jose Altuve mm-hmm. play.
Yeah, it's one of the best One of the best things I've got going in this job is to get to manage Jose. He's a perfect example. He's selfless. He doesn't take the attention. He wants to do well. He wants to win. He's very curious about how to be better. And boy, does he love to hit, you know. And he's one of the best hitters in the league. And as he's become more of a complete player, you know, watching him show up every day ready to play and ready to provide the spark and the energy that we need. He's everything that's right about what the Astros are about, and I'm proud of him.
What is the most pleasant surprise about Altuve that surprised you?
Just his will to get better. You know, I think guys that, you know, too many guys get 200 hits a season, and he's done it a couple seasons in a row, but he's always itching to get better. He'll talk about what he can't do or what he's not doing as opposed to what he's done before. I mean, he goes 0-for-4 and you feel like the world's going to end. I mean, it's just not something that he normally does, but he works hard. And I think the great players that I've been around in the league, they all have this it factor where they are prepared. They're the most prepared. They're the most specific in what their game plan is. And I love to watch Jose prepare and be ready to play every day. It's not his size. It's not the fact that you. You don't expect the power. It's just he's a more complete player than people give him credit for.
Carlos Correa is not too far behind either as far as excitement.
Mm-hmm. No, he's a great buzz around him, and that's from the day that he was the number one pick overall in the draft. He's had a bullseye on his chest to get a lot of attention. I think that the thing that's interesting about Carlos is he wants to be great. He already knows he's good, and he wants to be great. He works hard, which I appreciate. I think he's, you know, there's a lot that comes with him because he can't walk into a room and not have that glow around him about that attention. Reporters go to him. The opponents go to him. Our teammates already navigate towards him at a tender age of 21, 22 years old. So he has that draw. He's a superstar in our game. He's got areas to improve, but he surely is a magnet.
He has that leadership quality already.
Yeah, because, it ends up playing the shortstop position. You expect a leader. Playing every day, hitting third or fourth, you expect that type of leadership. He has presidents. He oozes confidence, which I love for a young player. But he's not satisfied. He wants to be one of the best players of all time, and that's easily said. But he's putting in the work to try to be it.
You have a degree in psychology from Stanford. Mm-hmm. How do you mesh that with baseball?
You know, this job. The more I've been around the managing job, and I'm still new at this. I have only a couple of years, but it's about connecting with people and connecting with their minds and putting them in a good position to be successful. And little did I know when I studied psychology at Stanford how much it's used in baseball. I mean, it's a game of failure. It's a game of frustration. It is a methodical, journey through the season. And players, I can relate to more players if I can understand what makes them tick, what brings the most out of them, what can I do, and how can I be relatable to them. And that's not how I was raised in this game. I was raised to fear the manager, and there was this office that was you tried to stay out of, and I've flipped it all the way on the opposite side and tried to be the most relatable manager in the league, to where every player knows I'm in their corner, I will push them, I'm tough on them, but if I learn more about them, I can be better at my job.
What did you learn as a manager in Oakland? And something, talk about what you're doing now differently.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just being myself a little bit more. I think anytime you try something for the first time, there's a tendency to try to act the part or be the part. And you know, what is a manager supposed to look like? What's he supposed to carry? How's he supposed to carry himself? How's he interact with his players? And for me, this time around, I'm a people person by nature, so I interact a lot more with the players. I am very, very specific with what my expectations are. I over communicate. Rather than just sort of tuck myself away in the office and being the manager, I'm out in the clubhouse. I'm out with the players. I eat with the players. I talk to the players. I'm not their friend, but I am their advocate. In doing that, it formed a nice bond and a nice relationship to where these guys will play hard for me.
I'm with Astros outfielder Carlos Beltran. Carlos, thank you so much for being on my show. You were with this team in 2004. What made you want to go back 13 years later?
Well, honestly speaking, I think after I became free agent this year, you know, this team was really aggressive in my free agency. And basically, I look up at the roster that they have, being able to play against the Astros last year when I was with the Rangers. I got to see closely the team. And honestly, this is a team that has a lot of talent. And there's no doubt that, you know, it could be a window here for us to make something happen.
What were your best memories in Houston in 2004?
Well, you know what? One of my best memories, I think, was being able to have the opportunity to be in the playoff for the first time in my career, and at the same time have the opportunity to play with so many great players like Bauer, Biggio, Clemens, Pettit. I mean, Roy Oswalt was there, Lance Berkman. So there were so many guys that, you know, and me coming from Kansas City, a team that, you know, we never had that opportunity to be in the playoffs. So it was a great feeling. And, I mean, I really enjoyed that moment.
You've come so close to winning the World Series. And how badly do you want to win?
That's our dream as ball players, you know, have the opportunity to win the World Series. But, you know, God gave me the opportunity to be in one with the Cardinals. Yeah, at the end of the day, you know, you want to win it all. So that's the goal.
You've come so close, you know, like I said, but you've also done well in the postseason as well. You're called Mr. October Jr. And why do you do so well?
I think the way I play the game, I try to be in control, you know, of everything that I do out there. I try to, you know, just stick with my plan, not trying to let the motions control my at-bat. So I think the fact that I'm capable of doing that, I'm probably in a platform like that where, you know, the hype is high and, you know, the energy is super high. So I'm capable of controlling myself and being able to basically stay with myself, with my plan.
What do you like about the Astros this year? They have a pretty good offense.
Yes, we got good offense. You know, we have great guys in our team, starting with Altuve, Correa, Springer, you know, and on. So, Bregman. So, we feel we have a lot of talent. All we have to do basically is stay healthy and find a way to, you know, play good baseball.
I look at your stats, and you have a Hall of Fame career. What do you think?
Honestly, I try not to think about that. I take that as a motivation for me to continue to work hard every day. And, at the end of, you know, when everything's said and done, you know, I hope my numbers are good enough to be considered.
You are 39 years old. How much game do you have left?
I don't know, my friend. I wish I know. I wish I could tell you right here, right now. But, you know, based on, you know, how I feel right now, I feel pretty good. And how long I'm going to play after this year, you know, I would say my production will be important, a decision of, you know, how well I do this year.
Everybody talks about your presence here. Would you like to manage one day?
It's not in my head right now, honestly. My job right now is to focus on, you know, playing the game and hopefully, you know, maybe be in good impact to the younger guys around me, and hopefully they can, you know, try to get some information and add it to their game, and hopefully we all can be better.
Carlos Beltran, thank you so much. I'm with Astros outfielder Josh Reddick. Josh, thank you so much for being on the show. You were a free agent this offseason, and what made you want to sign with the Astros?
The Astros made a very aggressive offer, made it, you know, right out of the gate that they wanted me to be here, and that I was their top priority. That was the main thing that made it happen. And with the young core players that are already here, and with the, you know, accusations of Brian and Carlos, we, you know, we're going to have a really good team. And I'm part of what a team was already good enough without us. So, you know, a team that just missed the playoffs. And hopefully with, you know, the addition of us guys and getting some pitching staff healthy, it'll be a magical year.
If you look at this offense could be lethal. What do you think?
I do. It's a, you know, it's deadly from 1-9, it feels like. We got, you know, when you got guys like Correa and Altuve in the middle of your lineup, and you throw guys like Springer and Bregman in there, and then you try to figure out where you're going to hit. So it's a good thing to, a good problem to have, really, where you feel like if you're hitting sixth or seventh, you still feel like you're hitting third or fourth in the lineup.
What have you learned about this team? How's camp so far?
It's going great. You know, being one of the older guys here at the young age of 30, it's definitely different for me to adjust. But these guys have been great. It's a little different to see how guys come up and approach you and ask you questions, because I'm, you know, I still feel like I'm that guy that still does that. You know, I still find myself asking Carlos questions about what to do. But it's a very laid back camp, and these guys are awesome.
In the last 3 years, I took notice you have not only improved your batting average, but you've cut down on the strikeouts. Mm-hmm. What's working there?
I don't like striking out, and I think that's one thing. You know, when you work towards that, it's all about just realizing what pitches you need to swing at, not really being so aggressive, and just trusting your swing and your hands. And that's one thing that I've, you know, preached to myself and learned to go the other way and focused on the other way and not trying to be so pull homer happy. Because if I don't try, I can hit 20 regardless whether I try or not. So it's not about that. It's about, you know, maybe trying here or there and getting your pitches, but it's about, you know, just grinding out at bats and swinging at really good pitches, and I've just gotten better at that as the years go on.
Who do you credit for getting your batting average better?
You know, really it was mainly myself. You know, the hitting coaches in the past, we've talked about, you know, not really cutting down strikeouts, because it's, you know, it's the big leagues. You're going to strike out eventually, but it's just something that I think deep down that I wanted to do. So I went into the offseason and kind of focused on, you know, working back the other way and just, you know, when spring training came along, just trying to work counts. I wasn't really trying to go up there in the first three pitches to get a hit. It was, you know, making sure I was looking for one specific area for the pitch to be, and when it, once it was there, I made sure I was on it.
Anything you would like to do differently this year? Driving more runs, score more runs?
I just, you know, I think for me, I want to stay healthy. Staying healthy for me has been a big issue with some freak accidents in the last few years. You know, last year the broken thumb was kind of something that you don't see every day, so that was frustrating. And I just want to stay healthy, because once I'm healthy, I can really do some damage. And with this lineup, it's going to be that much more dangerous when you got guys like that on base in front of you. It's going to be a lot easier, and these guys are fast. So it makes it, you know, a gapper can easily be, you know, a run scored from first or, you know, two runs from a single.
Wow. What have you done the last offseason to make sure you stay healthy this year?
It's about making sure your body's right. You know, like I said, last year was just a freak injury. It wasn't about being prepared for it. It was nothing that I could really control. You know, when you slide into a guy's cleat, that's kind of a small margin for something to happen like that. So aside from that, it's just been, you know, just making sure the body's right. Make sure you take care of it and you work out and you eat right.
You were in the National League for half a season, and do you see a difference between the two leagues?
Oh, 100%. You know, it seems like the National League teams seem to want to get that first pitch fastball and jump all over it, whereas opposing the American League, you'll have guys that are going to have, you know, four, five, six pitch at bats and kind of work on that thing. So that was the only really thing different that happened for me, was just trying to be more aggressive, because I was so aggressive early in my career that it hurt me, and I didn't really want to go back to that. I didn't want to convert back to that, because in August, as down as that season, you know, that month was, I was hitting the ball very hard. So I didn't want to change my plan when I switched leagues.
Talk about the Josh Reddick Foundation.
It's a local foundation back home that I started myself.
In Georgia?
In Georgia, yeah, in my hometown of Effingham County. We raise money through Home Run Derby, a concert, and a golf tournament, and everything that we raise goes right back out into the county, whether it be fire, police, education, children. It's all about finding out where it's needed the most, and we kind of give back to it. And, you know, we also do two scholarships per high school in the county for a male and female athlete, and all they have to do is write an essay and send it in, and I actually read it personally. So if they are grammatically correct, one, and two, have a good story, that's how I pick my winners.
Talk about how much you like to help your community.
It's huge for me. My small town is not very a big name or well-known at all, so it's something that I take a lot of pride in, because, not, you know, it's just something I always wanted to do. I feel like that, you know, for what I've done from being there, I feel like I can help out and make that county better than it already may be. And anytime you can help, you know, the kids of the area in the future, you're putting, hopefully, a good role model sense in those guys' minds, because you never know when a kid like that could be the next person to do something and make money. And hopefully if they look back on that and go, well, if Josh can do that, then I can do that. So it's all about trying to pass it on to the next generation.
What made you want to become a ball player?
It's all I ever wanted to do at 4 years old. There was no backup plan. There was never anything. My parents always asked me, what would you do if you didn't play? Well, you know, that was never a question. It was always, I wanted to be a major league ball player. And, you know, ever since 4 years old, it was just something that I loved to do, and I made sure I was going to get there.
Josh Reddick, thank you so much.